Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Jake Lyman here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben Arthur from Fox Sports will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things AFC South with him, so looking forward to that. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up later this hour at 7:45. So, Joe, as you know, your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs, who were your pick to win the Stanley Cup, bowed out in Game 7 against the Florida Panthers. They got smoked at home. And, frankly, anytime Toronto loses in the playoffs, the day after is always a pretty entertaining day. Like, I think about, you know, one of the most entertaining experiences of my sporting life was, like, when Kentucky won the basketball championship back in 2012, there was an app where you could turn on like the Lexington police scanner, and just some of the stuff going on out there was just amazing. So I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning listening to the Lexington police scanner. It's pretty similar like when Toronto gets eliminated from the playoffs. It's not a police scanner, but just the absolute avalanche of reaction when those guys get put out of the playoffs is pretty amazing. So yesterday after our show, I looked around and found Elliot Friedman in a new edition of the 32 Thoughts podcast that he does, kind of breaking down the Toronto Maple Leafs and the disappointment again of losing early in the playoffs and not getting past the Florida Panthers in the second round. And there's a lot coming for Toronto. Like, Marner's a free agent, Tavares is a free agent, and their team is probably going to look pretty different next year as they prepare for this. So I'm listening to this and kind of listening to Friedman go through the wreckage here with Toronto. And then all of a sudden, he comes up with a trade idea that is not being reported. Friedman just threw this out there as something he was wondering about that involves the Nashville Predators. And I thought to myself, huh, here's what Elliot Friedman had to say yesterday on the 32 Thoughts podcast.
Can I throw another name out there outside of Marchand?
I would never say no to you.
Okay. Well, you better not, or else you're out of here. Okay. I want to say I'm throwing this purely at the wall, okay? I'm doing this with no knowledge. I don't even know that the player would want to do this.
Okay.
Jonathan Marchessault.
It's the sound of you throwing that name on the wall.
So, again, it's just me throwing stuff. I freely admit it's purely out of the top of my head. Tough year in Nashville. They need to make some changes. You know, he's 34 years old. 4 more years. Fierce competitor. I don't know.
That was Friedman yesterday on the 32 Thoughts podcast. So they talked earlier, you know, Brad Marchand, after Florida won, basically spent time just talking about like how tough it is to play in Toronto and like the Leafs fans and how much pressure they put on Toronto. And, you know, Friedman talked early about, you know, Marchand's a free agent coming up, and wouldn't that be something if he ends up in Toronto at the end of all that? And then they started talking about Marchessault. Obviously, as we know, tough year here in Nashville. I'm interested to see what moves Barry Trotz has this offseason up his sleeve via trade. He has talked about the hockey trade and how that could be something that the Predators try to weaponize this offseason. So, Joe, again, this is not Friedman reporting anything. It's just him throwing something out there of something he's curious about. What do you make of that, of the idea of could you see if the Toronto Maple Leafs would be interested in Jonathan Marchessault, Joe Rexrup?
Well, the obvious next question is, okay, for what? And what is and for anything that helps the Preds now, because gonna reject anybody, including absolute water carrier Stilly, who suggests that the Preds are doing anything right now but trying to win right now and desperately needing to win right now. So what are you getting back? I have wondered, Robbie, about whether the decision to retain Andrew Brunette means that ideally, if there were to be a veteran traded, Marchessault would be the best choice just because of some of the, apparent conflict, or at least, whatever, philosophical disagreement, whatever you want to call it. Marchessault's made it very clear. Maybe not. Maybe the fire, as you've said, maybe the fire and his willingness to speak out and things like that is exactly what they need more of here. So why get rid of it? But also, he didn't exactly. I mean, look, no one had a great year. So it's an interesting, but it's an interesting idea. And I have to think that's part of Friedman's thinking too, right?
Yes.
Is just that maybe it's better for everybody if he's gone. It's really interesting. Like, how do the, how do the other guys in the room view Marchessault? Obviously, he had some issues with system, coach, all that stuff. But how do his teammates view him? How does he view his teammates?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I keep coming back to the contract. Like, he's 34. He's got 4 years left. And while it's not an astronomical number that he's getting paid, I mean, you are talking about $5.5 million per season at age 34. Now, obviously he didn't have a great year this past year. If he rebounds and scores, 35 goals next year, then the $5.5 million nobody's going to really care about, especially with the cap going up. But he is 34. And look, Vegas didn't want to go there, right? Like, Vegas did not want to give him 5 years. They did not want to pay him the amount that he got here in Nashville. And we talked about that the day after last year, right? Like, somebody's going to be right and somebody's going to be wrong when it comes to the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Nashville Predators. And the early returns look like the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Vegas Golden Knights were right and the Predators were wrong. That's what the early returns look like. Maybe that's not how it plays out next year. We'll see. I just think that if I was a team out there and I was acquiring, like attempting to get Jonathan Marchessault, I'm probably not giving up a whole lot. Like, he's 34. He'll be 35 in December. You're paying him over $5 million a year, and he's coming off a down year. So maybe it is just as simple as things didn't work here in Nashville, and he goes somewhere else, and he's back to being a 40-goal scorer. I mean, I kind of doubt it. We talked about it at the time. He's been a 40-goal scorer one time in his career, and other than that, he's never really approached it. So he doesn't have to be a 40-goal scorer here in Nashville for him to be effective, but he does
No.
need to creep more towards 30, like more towards 30 and more kind of towards that, 65-ish point range would be nice if you're Jonathan Marchessault. So is he going to do that again at age 35? I don't know. I would be pretty surprised, though, Joe, like if the Predators traded him, if they got back really anything overly significant that would help them next year, which puts you in a very big problem spot if you're Barry Trotz.
Yeah. So yeah. So how does it help you next year? Next year, yeah. Of course, you could look at this and you may help yourself down the line. But again, people who want to carry water say, "Hey, a few years down the line, we'll see how some of these prospects work out." That's what matters to me. In reality, in the real world, you have to win next year. You cannot miss the playoffs next year. You have to get to the playoffs next year, and you have to do more than that, in my opinion. But I'll read Nate on the text line driven by WilsonCunningham.com says, "Why should the Preds trade if they want to win now?" Which obviously have to plan is based on Trotz's comments. He seems to be the only, if not the only one, challenging Brunette. The way the team plays, Trotz says the Preds need more meanness. If Marchessault's moved, it sounds like the Preds would have the Care Bears of a team. I like that, the Nashville Care Bears. But yeah, that's is it. Does it help them? Does the chemistry, the culture, get better if he's out, or does it get weaker if he's gone? And that's exactly what you don't need.
I told you guys at the end of the year that he has definitely rubbed some people the wrong way in that organization. And I mean, I think it's pretty clear that that's kind of how it played out at the end there. I think you bring up the big question, which is really the one that matters, is like, what do his teammates think, right? I will say, like, I brought it up when Steven Stamkos had the comments and Barry Trotz had the comments. I asked both of them about Marchessault, and the first thing they started talking about was how easy it is to complain sometimes, right? Like
Yeah.
Stamkos said,
The Stamkos comments, yeah.
Yeah, like it's he, I asked him about Marchessault and playing a different way and all that stuff, and the first thing he started talking about was like, hey, when things aren't going right, it's easy to say everything sucks. So I don't, maybe that wasn't taking a shot at Marchessault. Maybe that was just his way of getting to a long answer to the question. But I took note of that. I asked Barry Trotz about Marchessault's comments, and the first thing he started talking about was, well, it's easy to say the system doesn't work when it's not working for you, right? So, I don't know. I took note of those two things. Maybe it's a nothing burger that I'm making too much of, but I don't think so. Like, I think there's something there. I think whether it's Toronto or not, it does bring up the larger conversation, Joe, of will the Predators attempt to move him this offseason? And if so, is he receptive to it? Now, if memory serves me correctly, and I think Adam's talked about this too, I do think there's like a limited no trade clause that he's got. I think it may be 16 teams, if memory serves me correctly. I have to do some double checking on that. But like if the Predators approached Marchessault this offseason and said, hey, man, we got a deal in place to go to so-and-so, whether it's Toronto or elsewhere. Like, how open to that would Marchessault be after 1 year? I don't know. I think that's that. Rather than the specific destination of Toronto, for the Predators' purposes, Joe, I think that's the larger philosophical question is, would Barry Trotz actually try to do that and move on from Marchessault after 1 year?
Yeah. And it is interesting to think what he would think. I mean, look, if you're him, miserable year, losing year. You weren't happy with the way your team was playing hockey. I can see Toronto, as much as, like, obviously there's tough things about being a player there, I can still see that being attractive. But they should still be a at least competitive team next year.
You would think. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of the idea that Friedman threw out there yesterday of potentially Toronto targeting Jonathan Marchessault? And if you're the Predators, would you be willing to move on from Marchessault after 1 year? We'll take your thoughts on all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see Penn and Teller at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday, June the 11th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to Penn and Teller at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday, June the 11th. Throwing the question out there, would the Predators be open to moving Jonathan Marchessault this offseason after just 1 year with the Predators? Elliot Friedman throwing it out there yesterday. Again, not reporting anything, but just throwing the idea out there of, huh, you know, things aren't going well in Toronto. Mitch Marner probably leaving in free agency. We'll see what happens with John Tavares. Would these Maple Leafs be interested in bringing in a guy like Jonathan Marchessault? Now, one thing that's interesting about, like, Toronto and why, like, Marchessault could be an interesting fit there, Joe, is I think they need a little more of that sandpaper, like a little more of that fiery competitiveness, and I'm not sure they've always had the right mix of that in Toronto. So I think Marchessault could be an interesting fit from that standpoint. As people have brought up on the text line, don't we think the Predators need a little bit more of that? Like, could you make the argument that Marchessault is actually needed here? And maybe you need a few more guys like him if you're the Nashville Predators. And it's an interesting point. One thing that Barry Trotz, Joe, did talk about at his very long end-of-season press conference was how maybe sometimes they're too nice. Like, the Predators are too nice in their room. And Marchessault, I don't think, is a guy that is afraid to speak his mind. So, again, beyond the actual destination of Toronto, I'm less concerned about that. And more from the Predators' perspective of the general idea of how open would they actually be to moving on from Marchessault after 1 year. And if they're open to it, how realistic is it that they can actually find a deal to get that to happen this offseason?
Yeah, and again, are we sure that Marchessault is behind the scenes – driving accountability as opposed to just complaining publicly?
Right.
You know, there's a huge difference. Also, you know, I understand the idea, hey, you know, got to have more guys willing to speak their mind, more guys who aren't just gonna accept mediocrity, but you also have to be good yourself and productive still.
Right.
You know, so what is he in that way? But I could see, with all the public clues we have, how there could be some sentiment of, you know, maybe there's just more harmony and just more people, frankly, just willing to just suck it up, try new things, figure out solutions if you move him.
Well, and also philosophically, you know, we all know that they need probably a couple centermen, but definitely one this offseason, right? Like, we all know that. So I don't know that trading Jonathan Marchessault is going to help you do that straight up from the trade. But like, if you freed up even more money moving forward, would that open up something? And here's the other thing: like, there was so much talk this year, and they talked about this in the room. You know, it was a big discussion point around the league. I remember Ray Ferraro talked about this before the season started, and brought up, like, now I don't know if it's going to work in Nashville because they got three guys on the wing that are right-handed shots, right? Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault. And at times, like, they played them all together, moving Stamkos to center. But you don't really see that happen very often where you got three right-handed guys all playing together at the same time. So, like, from a tactical standpoint, do the Predators look at this and say, yeah, we almost feel like we got too much of the same thing when it comes to, like, the scoring right wing or the right-handed shot? And do you try to move him out and maybe be a little bit more aggressive in free agency than you thought if you're freeing up a little bit more money with him gone? I don't know. I'm just spitballing there. But, like, tactically, do the Predators, beyond, you know, there's a lot of things that went wrong last year. I'm sure a system is probably part of it. I'm sure that there's a lot of things that you could point to. But how much is that an issue with them of they want to change up kind of the way that they attack and not have those three right-handed shots out there all together at the same time?
Yeah, that makes sense. Cam says, I think they should want to move him. But if we make that move, there has to be a plan in place for the near future. The biggest issue is we don't have a plan. We keep spinning our wheels, wanting to contend when results show we aren't close to being good enough yet. Well, I mean, if you go by last year's results, they're not in any sort of window. But if you go by their payroll,
right,
they have to be.
Yeah, I mean, the likelihood is Marchessault is probably going to be back. I still could come back to the contract and say, all right, how many teams are signing up for four more years of Marchessault at age 34 at $5.5 million per year? I don't know. I mean, there could be somebody out there. All right, I mean, the cap's going up. The NHL's in a pretty good spot financially. So maybe people look at the money and they say, you know what, for what we think he could bring to our team, we're willing to pay the money even at his age. I kind of doubt that's going to happen. So if he is back, how do you make it work? Like, that's really the fundamental question of the offseason. Of, we all know they need a centerman. So we can say, well, just bring in a centerman and that works. That's also really hard to do. So can you do that? Can you bring in a good enough centerman this offseason via trade, free agency, whatever it is, if you're the Predators, that changes the way your team plays? Because, that's part of what we talked about with keeping Andrew Brunette. Like, they got to change the way they play to some degree. And I think that's what Marchessault was saying at the end of the year of, like, clearly this didn't work, right? So you got to figure out something different. And Brunette talked about that at the end of the year. Like, he's going to have to make some adjustments. And what exactly are their adjustments going to be? I don't know. That's going to be really interesting to see, like, the way that they play. How much different is that next year? And can you really play all that much differently if you're bringing everybody back? That's going to be the question.
Right. I mean, if you're Brunette, you have to have an open mind on one of these guys, and he would, I think, be the most likely, right? Maybe the only one who's remotely possible being gone. And like you said, is there someone coming in who actually can drive that change? Like, if you're Brunette, you have to – I mean, I know when we talked to him, he was talking about how he's going to, you know, spend – as much time as he needs to try to figure out the starts of seasons and all these things. But he also, like, still doesn't know for sure what he has. I mean, I think you're probably right. And it's the same core group back, in part because it's just hard to move any, even Marchessault, but maybe not. And then maybe that helps Brunette, you know, do some different things. Maybe Marchessault is really just saying, I need to be out of here, and it could work.
Well, hey, look, I have no inside information on this. This is just me spitballing too. But, like, I don't know how the conversations went with Marchessault and Barry Trotz. Like, Barry Trotz, you know, I brought up the conversations that are the public comments that Marchessault made. And Barry Trotz's answer there, part of what he said was, like, yeah, I'm aware of what Marchessault said, and we'll keep, like, those conversations between me and him. Which tells me that there were obviously way more detailed conversations about exactly what Marchessault thinks moving forward. But I don't know. Like, the Predators could have walked away from these exit meetings, Joe, and said, All right, well, we're bringing Andrew Burnett back, and we think Marchessault's a problem, and we're getting rid of him this offseason. I mean, that very well could be in their cards right here. I have no idea how they're viewing that.
Well, sure hope for their sake that message is not out to the league, because then you have no leverage.
Exactly.
But maybe, yeah, that absolutely could be. Matt says, I'd want the Preds to take a swing at getting one of the Toronto centers. Marchessault could be a good stabilizer for Toronto as they move into a different era. But the particulars of the trade would be key. I don't know
who that would be. I mean, they're not trading Matthews.
You're not getting Austin Matthews back.
You're not getting him back from Marchessault anyway. And, like, Marner's not a center. He's a free agent. Tavares is going to be a free agent. So, I mean, other than that, I don't really know who you want at center from Toronto. Like, we all know they need a center. We all know it. I look at it right now, and I think it's going to be a difficult thing to do, because how many teams are trading away useful, good centermen? It just doesn't happen very often in the NHL. So trying to find a way to do that, like, I don't think, I could be wrong, I don't think Marchessault factors into that discussion, right? Like, if you're moving Marchessault, you're not getting back, like, some legitimate, bona fide top six center for him, unless some team's just an idiot out there.
No. George says, can't believe the Preds didn't fire an assistant. This is on the YouTube chat. Fire an assistant coach or somebody, just running it back like nothing bad happened.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that yet. I wouldn't say that it's a guarantee that the entire coaching staff is going to come back as is. Like, Trotz was asked about that at the end of season press conference, and he said, you know, I don't anticipate a change at the moment, but he also said that there are a lot of really good coaches that are out there and available, and that he could bring somebody else in that's a new voice. So I wouldn't automatically assume that the coaching staff is going to be exactly the same heading into next year.
It is funny, Leo. We as general fans of media, it is kind of both sides of the mouth a little bit with the Titans and Preds, right? It's like we flip out about Amy firing everybody all the time. But, you know, the Trotz wants stability, which in general, philosophically, I don't disagree with him. You know, it's like, you know, if you have people that you believe that they can do the job, then give them a chance. You got that chance. Worked out pretty well for you. But, yeah, to your point, I wouldn't just assume that at this point.
Caleb says, trade him and all the picks for Tage Thompson. Andrew says, Yossi or Forsberg for Matthews. And now we've entered fantasy land on the text.
Ah, boy. Here we go. Fantasy hockey.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on the Predators. We'll do that next. Plus, a question that I am throwing out there well in advance of football season, and I think we all need to keep in mind as the NFL season comes around. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up here in just a few minutes at 7:45. A couple more of your thoughts to get to on the Predators front as it relates to potential trades this offseason. Craig says, could we package a Marchessault with one of our first-round picks to teams with a great center, or would you have to give more, which is what I'm thinking you may have to do? I believe it would probably take more. I mean, some of this depends on who we're talking about. Like,
what's a great center?
What level of center are we talking? Are we talking, you know, Tage Thompson? Are we talking Elias Pettersson? Like, what are we talking about here? So some of it depends on who you're talking to. But, yeah, in general, it would take more than Jonathan Marchessault and one of your first-round picks here. You know, the first-round picks are going to be interesting, Joe. Like, obviously, they're going to use their first one, right? Like, they're going to use number 5 overall, and they're going to pick a player. Beyond that, is there a deal out there that makes sense that you could package one or both of these other first-round picks that to add to your team right now? And, Joe, I'm wondering, you know, everybody's going to assume that that could be a center. I wonder if that comes via defenseman, right? Like, there's clearly, like, a right-handed shot defenseman that they need with this group. And I know people are going to say, well, that's great. You had Alex Carrier and Dante Fabro. And believe me, I know. But I think you're going to see the Predators bring a right-handed shot defenseman in at some point this offseason. So, is there a player out there that you could target that is worthy of one of those first round picks that could help you package it that way? Does somebody get desperate? Like, you know, look, I'm not saying that this is going to happen, but I do think like every now and then this does happen in the league, right? A few years ago, Joe, it got to the offseason, and we were talking about Matthew Tkachuk because Matthew Tkachuk made it clear that he wasn't going to re-sign in Calgary and that he wanted out and that there were certain teams that he wanted to be traded to. Obviously, Florida was at the top of his list, and that's ultimately where he ended up going. But think about how that move has changed their franchise. Like the Panthers traded for Matthew Tkachuk, and all they've done since then is go to a Stanley Cup final, win a Stanley Cup, and now they're in the Eastern Conference final again. They may go on to win another cup. Like that's what they've done since they went and traded for him. I'm not saying that that is out there, like a move like that is out there this offseason. But, Joe, that basically came out of nowhere. Like it came like pretty quickly that developed, and all of a sudden it changed. So if you're the Predators, is there anything like that? Maybe not to the degree of Matthew Tkachuk. But is there a player out there that looks at their situation this offseason and says, yeah, you know what, I don't know if I want to be here anymore, and could the Predators be in position to take advantage of that with the assets that they do have?
Great question. That's the type of thing you need to materialize. Also, not to make anybody feel bad, but in case you forgot, Tkachuk had some interest in Nashville, and there was some talk, and we had a couple days on this program where we were like, oh, my goodness, and just imagine how different things might be had that worked out.
Yep. Sure did. I remember we had Jeremy Rutherford on, who covers the Blues for the Athletic, who was deeply tied in with the Tkachuks, and he's like, "Oh yeah, Nashville. Like he would be interested in Nashville." And I was like, "Really? Okay, all right, that's good." Didn't work out that way though. I mean, I can't blame him for wanting to go to Florida. It's worked out pretty well.
It has worked out well, but yes, that's man. When you have those opportunities, oof, you know. And previously, the Preds obviously made some moves. 10 years ago-ish, you know, that got them to a cup final, got them within a couple wins of a Stanley Cup, including the Johansson trade. But I got a Red Wings fan, fellow Red Wings fan, saying you can have Larkin for Yossi. Two captains not getting it done, get a new city.
I mean, I think the Predators would take Dylan Larkin. It's just me. Now, I don't think they're trading Roman Yossi to get it. But, I mean, that does bring up an interesting kind of point, and it goes back to defense here. Like everybody focuses in on center, and I'm with you. They need a center. Their defense is a huge question to me right now, because I think, you know, their defense wasn't good last year anyway, and that was, you know, Yossi being healthy for the majority of it. You know, Yossi's 35. You know, I know that he has been a great player for a long time, but you got another concussion that you can now add to the list. I say Yossi's 35. Yossi's going to be 35 in 2 weeks. So Yossi will be 35 when next season begins. I think you have to entertain the possibility, if you're the Predators, that he may not be the elite defenseman anymore. Like, he's still probably pretty good, and I think there's a chance that he could bounce back, just like I think some other guys can bounce back next year. But like I do think, I mean, we're getting to the point with Yossi in his career, Joe, where at 35, he's probably not the elite guy that he once was. So how does that influence the way that you structure your defense? Like, I still look at their defense right now and think that it needs a little bit of an overhaul with what they've got.
They got a lot of issues. And whenever we talk through the Preds, that's kind of where it comes back to. Like, man, it just, because time is just marching on here. You just had a complete lost year for all these guys who are not getting younger, obviously, and are getting into that range where it's like you just have to naturally expect some diminishment of their skills, their production. And, they need, beyond whatever moves they make this year, you know, next year is going to require at least probably three. Oh, wow, look at that comeback/breakthrough season from this guy that I didn't see coming for it to even be, to me, like, remotely possible that they, you know, live up to any sort of expectations.
Right. Like, with the, you know, with the way their defense is right now, like, I do think, like, people got all over Brady Shea this year, and he was bad for the first half of the year. I do think he got better as the year went on. And, like, I would expect Brady Shea with a year into the system to be good next year. Like, I think I saw enough from him at the end of the season where it was like, all right, it looks like he's starting to figure it out a little bit. So I would expect him to be good next year. But like I think their defense right now is in need of like an elite player, and they need Roman Josi to be Roman Josi who won the Norris Trophy a few years ago. And I just don't know that he's that anymore. That doesn't mean he can't be a good player, and he's not still a good player, but he's 35, right? Like, I mean, he's been playing for a long time. He's 35 years old. Like, I don't know that you're going to be seeing Roman Josi at this stage of his career in the Norris Trophy conversation anymore, which is, again, it's natural. Like, you have to expect that as these players age, right? So then that leaves you, well, where exactly are you with your defense?
Yeah, like it's no knock on him at all. He's been incredible. He's had a tremendous career. And it's just like there's reality that hits. And also with him in particular, I'm concerned about the concussions. We've talked about that for years now. And yeah, at some point, like that's a real problem. So there's a lot of things that they need, frankly, just some good luck. Now, a few people in the YouTube chat saying Molendijk needs to be on the roster. We've talked about that. Agree. But also you got to
temper expectations for what he's going to be as a 20-year-old kid.
Like, I can see him coming in, helping, being solid, having a spot, but, like, you're probably going to need a little time before he's a difference maker, you know, the way things usually go. Ernest T. Bass, you can't build a hockey team by constantly bringing in new free agents every year. No chemistry. They dug themselves a big hole.
What a great name.
Well, I mean, they still have a great name. And they still have a core of people who have been here a long time together. I mean, Sissons, Forsberg, Saros, Josi. You know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but like to me, when they brought in Ryan O'Reilly, that was a chemistry bump. That was a great chemistry move, and they went to the playoffs that year, right? So it's just making the right choices.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we go too far in these discussions. Did we go too far with the free agency stuff the day after they signed all these guys? Probably, right? Like we probably went a little too far. I think sometimes we go too far the other way in reverse. It's like, well, don't ever sign a free agent ever again because it can't work. And there have been situations where free agents have come in here and played pretty well. So keep that in mind. I mean, one of the biggest moves in franchise history was a free agent by the name of Paul Kariya, who came in here and played pretty darn well for the Predators for a couple years. So I don't know that I would have totally abandoned the free agency approach if you're the Predators moving forward. I mean, you can't do what you did last year every year. I think we all know that.
No. But again, that was, here's an opportunity. I've got the money. And again, I'm about to sign the goalie. And so the next few years, actually, we got to win.
Yeah.
Because I'm signing the goalie who needs to be great right now. And that still is the central potential total miscue that could cause a lot of change in this organization in the years to come.
Joe, very quickly, before we get to the Rex rant, this is a question that really doesn't involve a whole lot of thought, but just your very quick synopsis. You know, we're going to hear all this talk about AFC teams heading into the preseason, the NFL, of is it finally Josh Allen's year to break through and get to the Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson, all these things. Should we all be slapped if we pick anybody other than the Chiefs to come out of the AFC? That's my question for you. Because nobody else comes out of the AFC other than the Chiefs.
I don't think so. I think the butt kicking they took, I know it was the Super Bowl, so gee whiz, it's the Super Bowl. But I still think the butt kicking they took, I look at all of last year and I see a team that obviously they've got the best QB and they find ways to win close games, but also a team that I think is pretty flawed and vulnerable. I really do. So I may need to, if this is the case, if your question is answered in the affirmative, then I may need to be slapped because I don't know that I'm picking them this year.
I think you may need to be slapped.
I think that's fine. Just don't slap me on my little boo-boo on my foot. I think the Bills or the Ravens are going to be in the Super Bowl this year. Okay. I'm not sure which one, but I put both of those in my mind ahead of the Chiefs.
I mean, look, this run has to end at some point, right?
Slap. At some point, yeah. Or again, like think about the Patriots. You know, they had multiple iterations, right? But they also had years in between there where they were just so-so. And maybe we're looking at a little bit of a gap here before they can get it back with Mahomes. And we'll see about Andy Reid. How many more years is he coaching?
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Tune in for the Indy 500 race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage beginning at 10 a.m. Brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree beer. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
First of all, I ask better press conference questions than you do, and everybody knows.
I know. Oh, yeah, you do.
I didn't hear the coach say that's a good question, Joe, yesterday, but he did for me. I mean, consistently, my questions in press conferences lead to stories at ESPN.com and all this consistently, Joe. And you know it. I don't think Joe and Paul are so smart that they could have formulated some great question that would have got him to say anything more than what he was already prepared to say. I mean, what is, so is your favorite breakfast cereal, do you like Fruit Loops or do you like Corn Pops or do you, what was that tweet about? Like, what could they have done?
I guess maybe he is dumb.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every day here on the program. Joe, I forgot that exchange. That was very funny. My stories consistent, or my questions consistently lead to stories on ESPN.com. Consistently.
God, I forgot it. I forgot about that too. For the record, Jake Lyman, great intro. I did not ask for this. I did not bring him up. This is not me.
Sure you did.
Okay. I'm sitting here. I'm sitting here minding my own business. Boy, that was a, I ask the finest questions in the land. No one asks a question like my questions. My questions are so amazing. Oh, just truly beautiful. What did we do without him for a week? Okay, so
apparently
I'm
almost folded as a station, according to him.
I know. Thank goodness we kept it together for a few days. So I'm going to go back to this we talked about earlier. I don't, you know, this is one of those situations where it's like, okay, there's some tweets and I'll interview, and it's early, and so let's sort of see how things play out, and maybe it's not as dumb as it seems, but like I'm just gonna assume it's as dumb as it seems as college sports. Again, Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports, the power conferences have drafted a contract that would bind schools to new enforcement rules, require them to waive the right to sue over decisions, and schools not signing may risk conference eviction. Okay. So immediately you have Andy Staples calling Danny White and basically, you know, crapping on the whole idea. Because again, there are different state laws. So this is what Danny White's quote was to Staples for On3.com. Says, quote, you know, he's talking about the law in the state of Tennessee. It gives us protections from the legal and structural uncertainties of college sports. That's what he said to Staples. Here's what Staples writes after that. The law also pits those schools directly against their conferences. Dellinger reported, you know, the plan requiring schools to waive their right to sue the College Sports Commission, the new entity created in the wake of the settlement. This is, again, the House settlement that we may get a final word on today. We'll see. We've been thinking we were going to get the final word for weeks/months now, but it might be today. Okay, back to the Staples. Quote, if schools don't sign, Dellinger reported they could face expulsion from their conference, risk being blackballed from playing other power conference programs. Would Tennessee risk losing membership in the SEC? Or is this much ado about nothing, since many organizations require members to settle issues through arbitration rather than in court? If anything, it seems to be a warning to other states that might be considering a law similar to Tennessee's. But does the loyalty oath have any teeth? And if the conferences want to play this out even further, are they prepared to take on entire state governments? Let me just tell you. I need the names of the people who are so freaking stupid who are involved in college athletics. Because it kind of gets into a little bit of, because look, like for example, when I talk about conference commissioners, you know, we've been critical of Greg Sankey on some things. Like Greg Sankey's a very smart guy. He's a very shrewd man. And, you know, when we got into this whole, and we're not done with it, but when we got into this whole thing with the what's the word, Robbie?
Allocations.
What's the word? Allocations. The allocations, the automatic bids that people are still talking about. You know, SEC and the Big Ten get 4 apiece guaranteed, and then the Big 12 and the ACC get 2 apiece. So this is the 16-team model, which is just absolutely insane to me. But then he sort of, you know, he kind of made it clear, you know, gently, but he kind of made it clear that it's the AD's pushing for this. I've talked to an AD in the Big Ten who said, look, I understand, like, it goes against my instincts of competition, but also when you look at the financial situation in college athletics, if I know every year I got that money, I know we're getting 4 teams and we're getting that money. Right now I have to go with that. Okay. I mean, look, that's fine. Honestly, I just hope he doesn't get his way, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so now I just need to know who thinks this is a good idea. All of this stuff, this clearinghouse, just Deloitte is just going to cash in on this idiotic thing. It's just not going to work, guys. And the idea of schools, you know, again, the schools suing, you can go ahead and sign whatever the hell you want. Individuals, all these lawsuits that we see that have been crushing college boards, which again, the theme is the same thing. You can't limit their income. They are labor. You can't limit their income unless they collectively bargain that away. Okay. It's just the same thing. Individuals are going to keep suing people. And do you really think they're going to evict conference members over this?
No.
I mean, give me a freaking break.
They kicking Tennessee out of the SEC.
It's just so ridiculous. And again, like, so I need to know whose bright idea was it? Like, who really thinks that this is worthwhile? That it's worth anybody's time? I have to know. Because at some point, we need to go ahead and name names on the dumbest people in athletics. Some of them are absolutely in positions of great power in college athletics.
It is amazing the way that this all continues to shake out. When I saw the threat of conference eviction, I literally just started laughing. I was like, "Yeah, okay, you guys gonna kick out Tennessee and Vanderbilt if they don't from the SEC if they don't follow your rules?" I don't think so, buddy. I don't think it's gonna go down that way.
It's just mind-boggling. Here we go. We'll go through however long we need to go through. The clearinghouse. And again, what I have to think, like what Nick Saban and some people want, is just let's stop with this craziness and let's just get to this. It's real NIL, yeah. Right? And then when all these schools, the top programs, are chasing the very, very best players, that one quarterback that everybody believes will win a national championship or whoever it is, then the money goes back under the table. That's what they want. The problem with that is that, look, there's just a lot more money when you have everybody basically able to negotiate against each other and agents involved in all the stuff above ground.
Yeah.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. They want to, but they can't. They're not going to be able to. It's going to fail miserably. And eventually we'll get to what we have been talking about for a while now, because that's the only outcome that could possibly make any sense.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Ben Arthur from Fox Sports. We'll get into the Titans and all things AFC South with him. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.